listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's show on LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. You know what? I'm going to move this up here because I want you to see that URL if you're watching the video. Today we're going to talk about talking about it. And I know that sounds funny, but the name I gave tonight is Speak to Change the Room and Get Paid. Now, I don't know. Right now, identify yourself. You know, raise your hand if you're a speaker. Do you speak? Do you speak at company events? Do you do presentations? Maybe you're a paid speaker. Maybe you're an internet marketer or you're a content provider. Do you speak in some fashion? So many people that I talk to, when they tell me what they want to do, they say, I want to speak. I love to speak. I want to go and speak. And it's interesting because sometimes I'll listen to people and I don't doubt their passion at all, but they're not ready to go on the pro circuit yet. They're not, you know, the skilled and so forth. But that's all learnable. That's a skill that you can learn and learn to do powerfully and well. So today I want to talk about how you do that. If you want to speak, if you want to change the world with a message, and you want to get paid, speaking is one of the most fun and powerful ways to do that. So now there are some people that are on the speaking circuit. I had a client once who I think he told me he'd spoken in 180 countries. Well, there's only about 200 and I don't know, but like lots of them. And so he made a business of traveling and speaking, and he got paid. And he was a professional, obviously, and, you know, taught speaking. And one of his coaching, his main coaching thing was teaching people how to speak, teaching them not just how to speak, but how to create a business of coaching, which includes, you know, getting paid, getting booked, getting, you know, marketing, all that kind of stuff. So we can only cover so much in the hour that we have together, but I'm going to give you some really powerful stuff about how to speak and get paid. So that client of mine, I love him, fabulous guy. And so he would, when he taught people to speak, here's what he'd say. There are three things that are really important if you want to be a speaker: the speech. In other words, no matter what else you do, you got to have a killer talk. You got to have something that brings people to the edge of their chairs. You got to have something that leads people along, that draws them in, and it's not confusing and it doesn't lag. And, you know, there's structures for that, right? So we're going to talk a bit about how to do this and how to make it work if that's something you want to do. Now, the first thing I want to do is give you an invitation. Because if my talking about speaking excites you and you want to get paid to speak, or you want to get better at speaking, or you want to sell from stage, which is a different skill set, and we'll talk about both those today, and you'd like my help doing that, then there's a URL right here on the page, KellenFlueckigerMedia.com. KellenFlueckigerMedia.com, and there's a contact form. Get a hold of me and let's talk about what it would take. And tell me what you've done and where you're at and why you want to. I really am most of all interested in your message. Your message. Because, you know, my message is about your ultimate life. I was just talking to Sam before we started about that ultimate life business. Living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Do you have that? If you don't, my heart aches for you. Purpose is yours to choose. Prosperity, it's easier today, and I say this, and you're going to roll your eyes. I say this truthfully. It's easier to make money today than it's ever been. And the reasons are not complicated. The technology is better. Your reach is better. You just have so many more opportunities than you used to have 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, think about it. If I wanted to sell something 30 years ago pre-internet, it had to be somebody right there, right? Local, or I had to advertise, you know, and across the state or country or nations. Today, you can sit home and make money in your pajamas while you sleep, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's really true. You have to do the setup and you have to do the work, but it actually can be done. I do that. I sell stuff when I'm not online as products and services. So learning how to do that is not complicated. But today, we're talking specifically about speaking. Now, if you don't know how to speak well, and you haven't done it a lot, and you're a little scared of it, there's an organization called Toastmasters, which I'm sure you've heard of, that you can join, and that will begin your career. Begin your opportunities. You speak a lot. They have regular meetings. They have roles and critiques and tell you about how to open a talk and how to keep people's attention and all that stuff. And they have all kinds of competitions. I have a client right now who's a DTM, Distinguished Toastmaster, and she is a powerful speaker and has won some awards and done stuff. She belongs to some international groups, and she's quite impressive. And she learned most of it, I think, through belonging to Toastmasters and participating in the various ranks for many years. If you want to learn faster than that, then you're going to need to hire a coach. You're going to need to find somebody that knows how to speak, that knows how to organize and teach, and knows how to coach you effectively. That work was the work that my client did, and it's also what I do. I teach clients to speak and speak from stage, sell from stage, and also something else is really powerful and effective storytelling. And those are integrated, okay? If you want to be a powerful speaker, you must, it's not negotiable, you must learn how to tell stories. You must learn pacing, and you must learn emotional nuance and variability, dynamic range. Now, I own a recording studio and have for, 40 years or more. And the words dynamic range mean something specific in a studio. It's the difference between the noise floor, meaning the noise that's just inherent in a piece of gear. Like, remember you used to turn an old stereo on and there was some noise that came out of the speaker? That's the noise floor. And it gets softer and softer as gear gets better, but there's a noise floor. And then there's a volume at which it distorts. So the difference between the noise floor and the distortion level is your dynamic range. That's the range that you can use for loud and soft. So all those things are part of storytelling and part of captivating an audience and part of making money and getting paid to speak. So I'm going to tell you some things that will excite you about speaking. And that is this. An hour on a stage will do way, way more than what 100 posts or 1,000 posts on social media, no matter what. And the reason is because you can transfer conviction at scale. Now, videos are all the rage and have been now for many years. And in video, you can transfer more emotion, conviction, variability, you know, the ability to draw people in, all that. You can do that way better than you can in words, although written words are extremely powerful. The reason is not complicated. You have the visual cues. So you have micro expressions and facial expressions. You have variability in voice. You can talk slowly. You can have a dramatic pause. And then you can come to a big climax in the story. You can do all kinds of things with the cadence, which is the tempo, the dynamic range, which is the volume. And then when you add in the visual component, you can really craft something powerful, meaningful, and that can move an audience. Learning all those skills is very doable. And if you want to, you can make money speaking. So that's the premise today. We're talking about one way to create a life that you love. So if you love motivating people, moving an audience, getting stuff done, creating change and growth in people, speaking's a good way to go. If you want my help, get a hold of me, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. There's a contact form. So let's talk about how this works. I told you what my client said. He said the most important thing is the speech. Often they call that a signature speech. A signature speech is something that's unique to you, that only you have, that only you own, that is completely and uniquely yours. Every single keynote speaker has one, sometimes two or three keynote speeches that they can give on different topics, and they all are their signature speech. So when you think about Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within, and that sort of thing. His signature processes are motivational. It is connecting you with your internal will and power, the divine being within. Think of Les Brown. You know, he talked about his mom and his childhood and so forth. Every speaker that you know and that you are, is famous, you have religious, charismatic speakers, and they have signature stories. So you might be thinking, okay, I get it, Kellen, but how do I get a signature story? Like, what the heck? I don't have a signature story. And the answer is, yes, you do. Without a doubt, without question, you have one. You may need to figure it out. You may not know what it is right now because it isn't just a bunch of stories from your childhood. If you want to figure out what your signature story is, I'm going to talk a little about it, about how to identify it here. But if you want the real deal, it's in the book, The Story Arc. And The Story Arc is specifically written for speakers, authors, and storytellers. And so it is written to help you write books. And I've mentioned that book before, help you write books. But it also is a powerful tool to learn to craft a speech. Because just like anything, a story has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. One of the famous story arcs of all time is called The Hero's Journey. And that was written by the book A Hero of a Thousand Faces, which is the book that popularized The Hero's Journey, although he's written others. It was written by a fellow named Joseph Campbell, who talked about a certain arc where the protagonist, the hero of the story, starts out as a normal person in life, and then they have some kind of a breakdown, and something happens, and they meet a mentor, and they go on a quest, and I'm getting some of this out of order, but they go on a quest and meet a mentor, and they go face a bunch of challenges, and they overcome some of them, and then they have a final and dark night of the soul, an existential crisis, and they get past that, and then they return to the village or the normal world a completely changed person, and they bring wisdom, experience, and so forth. That hero's journey is the fundamental basis for stories like Star Wars and so forth, where they have that hero's journey in spades in lots of different arcs in that set of movies. The key here is to understand that you have that. I have referred to it before as the story of your becoming. Now let's put some boundaries around that. Raise your hand, even though I can't see if this is true. Do you have a desire to help people? Nearly everyone I talk to will say that. Well, what do you love to do? I love helping people. Okay, that's baked into us. We're divine beings, so that's baked into us. That desire is made louder and like almost irresistible when we've been through a set of challenges that could have crushed us, but we made the choice to be resilient. We made the choice to maybe get help, maybe get a coach, maybe get medical help, depends on the situation and so forth. But we made a choice not to be ruined by those experiences. I was talking to one of my clients this morning, and she's writing a book right now on power in the pain. And she's exploring in her own life the losses that she's had. She described a period when she was about 12 years old when her dad and two uncles died in very, you know, short succession, and the family was close, and it was just an incredible, you know, this loss, and then a few weeks this one, and then this one, and her dad, of course, being the most powerful. She's exploring how, in the book that she's writing, not only the terrible, oh, so hard, but what she learned, what she gathered, how she was able to grow from that. Not at the time, because she didn't, she said, you know, you don't, as a kid, you just don't have the tools to process it. But as you look through your life and you see that these events corresponding to, you know, breakdowns and dark nights and so forth in the hero's journey, how they actually build you, or they can. Now, here's the choice. I ask you first, do you want to help people? And you raise your hand. Yes. When your breakdowns have occurred, let's list some possibilities. Divorce, your parents' divorce, your own failure of relationship, illness, someone close to you dying, loss of a job or a succession of jobs, a long period of unemployment, loss of a business like maybe during COVID, or loss of a fortune like happened 20 years ago in the 2008 real estate crash, mortgage fraud and all that stuff. Like, there are tons of terrible things that crash your life. You know, pain, betrayal, cruel circumstance, those kinds of things can trash your life. The question is, did you let it ruin you, or did you allow it to refine you? Now, sometimes we do both. We let it ruin us for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, and then something else happens, and we realize that we really would rather choose resilience and grow. So when you have one or more significant events in your life that could have ruined you, and whether it's immediately or after some years, you have chosen to let it refine you. And what I mean by that is more empathetic, more powerful, more committed to your own mission and purpose, less about people pleasing, more about speaking your own truth. That kind of growth, if that's happened for you, that is the nuts and bolts of your story of becoming. And here's why. When you allow something, and the more difficult it is, the more powerful. When you allow something difficult to refine you, you learn things in your heart that you can get in no other way. Like, you just can't get the feeling of the refiner's fire unless you're walking through it. You can talk about it, and that's like talking about, you know, that thing over there, but there's nothing like being in the refiner's fire, hour after hour, day after day. I'm reminded of my angel, my wife Joy, who was our guest last week, and the time that I died in 2018. Sudden, you know, we got home from a cruise of all things in the first part of June, and I got sick and went to the hospital, and it turns out I had a fatal illness and died. And even after they were able to resuscitate me, and yes, I had a near-death experience and all that craziness, but even after that, I spent 17 days in a coma and some more days in the hospital, in the ICU, and then in the regular part, recovering. And that was a sudden jolt where I was completely out of commission for a month. And even coming back, I'd lost 35 pounds. I couldn't walk. I had to learn to walk all over again, and I couldn't do very much. And so it was another month, besides the month of being sick, that I couldn't really do anything much to contribute to our business. And so suddenly she was faced with more that she had to do on top of taking care of me. And she, you know, took care of the animals. She visited me regularly in the hospital. And she allowed that event to refine her, made her more compassionate, more loving, more determined. She found strength she didn't know she had to do the things she needed to do. Now, she's been a long time eBay merchant, and she was a power seller and so forth. And she hadn't been doing a ton right before that happened, but she was able to quickly ramp that up and do some things to make money and you know, create, because we didn't know how long this was going to last or what was going on, especially during the whole time I was in a coma. So for 3 weeks, everything was upside down and backwards in the air. My point is that sudden challenge scared the daylights out of her, and she buckled down and got to work, and so she allowed that to refine her. And you met her last week, and I call her an angel. And I say that with the deepest sincerity in my heart. And every time I talk about her, I have to be careful or I get emotional, because she's so powerful and so clear in her determination to do good and be that kind of person. So if you think about her, she easily could take that event by itself and turn that into a signature story of becoming. And the details of the illness are not that important. The details of all that she did to keep the organization, the family and the dogs and the cats and the money and the household and everything running are important, but they're not critical. The thing that's important is the change in her when she made the determination that she was going to make this work no matter what. and she was going to make it work without screaming at God, getting mad, getting depressed, stomping around, drinking herself into oblivion, or things that sometimes people do, right? That's the difference between letting something ruin you and something refine you. So when you think about your own life and you think, what big events have happened? And I suggested some, you know, divorces, separations, illness, bankruptcy, betrayal, somebody embezzled all your money, your house burned down. I think about all those people in California where those fires all took place and all the homes that were lost. And I think almost no permits have been issued. Nothing has started for repair or rebuilding, and all that money that was supposed to be raised to help them was embezzled or given to stupid organizations that have nothing to do with actually causing houses to get built, but other, you know, junk. And so when you look at those, the group of people there, there's such an opportunity and such difficulty there. Now, I have a personal friend who is a good friend who's lost his house. And I know somebody else, but I know one very, very much. I know him. He lost everything, everything burned to the ground. And so, you know, he talks about it and has talked about it, how it struck him, how it caused some, you know, some struggles in his relationship because people process things differently, and ultimately how it has refined him and strengthened them. Well, that doesn't happen by accident. That's a choice. So I've talked about this at length because I want you to realize you do have a signature story. You do have a powerful talk in you. If you want to learn to find it, then the story arc is a way to do it. But where you look at the things that have been most difficult for you, because that's where you've had to make the choices to either be ruined or refined. Then you get to the mechanics of how to tell the story, right? And that's the storytelling work. And the whole speech isn't just the story of what happened to you, because it's not a memoir and it's not a poor me or a whiny thing. It's not that at all. It is a chance to use an event and just a few of the details to illustrate a common theme that takes place in the human experience. Disappointment, despair, struggle, turning into growth and challenge. That's why I call it the story of your becoming, because who you are today after going through that is completely different than who you were before that happened, especially if it was hard. And the harder it was, the bigger the change that's taken place. And so those kinds of things leave marks. They leave scars. But battle scars are beautiful because the scar indicates healing. And it indicates not forgetting. So you use the stories, one or more of those stories, that illustrate a characteristic of your life. Dreaming, staying consistent to a dream, perseverance, right? Unconditional love, going to great lengths to fix or rescue someone or a relationship or a situation. Those are the universal themes that connect with audiences. And the reason they do is they give hope. They give hope. I read a survey that said that at any given moment, more than 50%, so let's say 51, but at least half of the people you walk by every day at this very moment are struggling with something gigantic, some big struggle in their lives. When I heard that first, it just blew me away. Because I'm thinking, in a room full of 10 people, half these people who I don't know and I don't know what's going on in their life are at an existential crisis moment. Something is completely falling apart. Someone's dying or losing all their money or shelter or relationship or, you know, some catastrophic thing. And so those things are everywhere and you have had many in your life. So mining those events, not just for talking about what happened, but for what you learned and how it tempered the steel of your heart, how it refined you like gold in the refiner's fire. All right. So I want you to think about that, and I want you to take a minute and do this little exercise with me. If you were to speak, let's say you got trained on all this, you found your signature story, you got skilled at speaking and storytelling, using dynamic range, silence, movement, and all the things that go into a fabulous presentation. Let's say you learned all that. Here's a question for you. After I speak, my audience can fill in the blank. I want you to think about that. After you speak, after you have them riveted with your story and the principles that accompany your own growth, what can they do that they couldn't do before? Is it more hope? Is it more resilience? Is it the courage to continue? Is it the courage to go fix a broken relationship or make a phone call they've been putting off maybe for years? So think about that. After I speak, my audience will be motivated to or will be able to, and they'll go do that thing. When you can name that clearly, you're well on your way, because then you have a clear outcome for your keynote speech. And when you prepare something called a speaker one sheet, which is a bit about you and where you've talked and some links to pictures or videos of you speaking and so forth, there's a place on a speaker one sheet to list your topics. Like what, why would someone have you speak? So one of the things that I've been asked to do a lot of radio interviews about is addiction to mediocrity. Now that's different than regular, you know, substance addiction. And during my dark years of depression, there was plenty of that and rehab and so forth. But this is addiction to mediocrity. And I talk about that, and I've just had in the last few weeks five different very, very large radio station interviews around the United States. And the hosts always said, I was really intrigued by the idea that addiction to mediocrity is ruining our lives. And so they wanted to talk about where it came from and why it exists and how to fix it and what it means and all that sort of thing. Addiction to mediocrity is the sort of resignation we feel when we go, well, this is as good as it gets. I got this crappy job. I work for the weekend. Can't wait till it's Friday and I can go party on the weekend. And Monday, you know, the idea that, well, this is as good as it gets. This is my allotment. This is all I can have in life. That's addiction to mediocrity. And if you feel that way, you're struggling with that addiction. Now, you're free to stay there. You're free to be a victim and to live that way, or you can say, I'm done being addicted to mediocrity and do something about it. And the doing something about it is one of the keynote speeches that I give. Another keynote that I have that's listed on my speaker one sheet is how to create change. The whole personal development industry and the idea of your ultimate life and everything that we're doing is really about taking control of your life, ending giving up control to the weather, to the government, to circumstances, to others, you know, and instead it's asserting your own sovereign control. So creating this ultimate life I talk about, and you've heard a lot of that speech from 50,000 different angles here on all these episodes, because whether it's with me or with guests, we're always talking about how to create a life that you love every day, a life of purpose, a life of prosperity, which of course includes making good coin, and a life of joy. And the addiction to mediocrity piece comes in there because a lot of people feel like they can't have it. Somebody gets all that, but I can't. Not true. Learning to speak is a really powerful way you can create that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, because you are then in the mode of sharing and teaching, not something you learn somewhere, but you're sharing and teaching those things that are the most important to you, that have been part of your own journey. You're sharing those things. And when we talk about that stuff, that comes across with such power and conviction. Okay. So let's talk about what a story of becoming is. A story of becoming has a beginning, and that's what life looks like before something happens, before the terrible thing, before the illness or the break or whatever. Then there is the break, the breakdown, the broken thing, right? And that might be, like I said, a divorce, a betrayal, someone dies, you know, just all kinds of things. That's a break. After the break itself, which is the pain that happens, then there is the consequences of that. So I was watching a little piece of a British television show the other day, and it was a series, and it was about a police station in Cambridge. And there's one character on there who had a tragedy in his life, and he was drinking too much. So the event was the tragedy. The cost of the tragedy was that he couldn't get over it. He couldn't grieve properly and process, and so he was, you know, going downhill and was hitting the bottom, essentially. In other words, it was jeopardizing his job and his health and his relationships and everything was were getting trashed because of the consequences of this problem. In your event, you've had something like that. If you have allowed it to refine you, even if it was after years, then there's a breakthrough, which is you learn to see or feel something differently. You get a new perspective. You realize you can get through this. You are resilient. Often that involves, they call it a mentor in the hero's journey, but coaches, mentors, you know, maybe it's someone in your family, your grandpa, your uncle, your aunt. As we live more and more separate lives, those things are harder and harder to come by. And that's one of the reasons I love being a coach, is because I get to be a front row seat right on center line to these kinds of transformations in people's lives as they come to realize they have more power than they think. They can overcome the things that were just crushing the life out of them days or weeks before. That isn't permanent. That's not how it is. It's not how it has to stay. And being part of that again and again with more people, it gives me such a testament, a certainty, a testimony of the power of the human being, the power of your spiritual nature, the power of who you really are. So those are, and then there's a new normal, in other words, a new healed person. And so you have whatever's normal, you have a break, you have a crash, you have a breakthrough, and then there's a new normal. The reason your story of becoming matters is because when you document in your speech the processes you use to get your breakthrough and to create a new normal, those become a blueprint. So your path of trial and triumph becomes somebody else's blueprint. They become somebody else's guiding star. They become someone else's map through the same or similar things. And even though no two stories are alike, the map of feelings, feeling picked on, it's not fair, feeling alone, isolated, feeling like nobody understands, like it'll never get better, then seeing a glimmer of hope, then grasping at that hope, then doing some hard work, getting the right help, and then overcoming and then becoming more powerful than you were, those steps are the same, no matter what the grief, the pain, the loss, or the struggle is. They look a little different because the circumstances are different, but the emotional journey is the one that you're connecting to when you're giving a keynote speech. You are connecting with the truth of someone else's life by sharing your lived experience. Okay, so another way to think about it, and this is another assignment, I used to blank, okay, and I use this format, and I talked about I used to drink, but it can be anything. I used to X, then this, it costs that, I discovered this, and now I can help you do this with that. So in other words, it's a template walking through. Now, if I said I used to drink, then it overtook my life, it cost my sobriety, it cost relationships, etc. I discovered it wasn't worth it, and that I would do anything I could to get past it. And now I can help you with addiction to mediocrity. I can help you with the idea that you're not good enough or capable. I can help you overcome those things, not because I'm magic, but because I have walked that road. That is the crux of creating a keynote speech, is using a story out of your life, gleaning the principles, the teachings, the learnings, and sharing them in a way that anyone in the audience can relate to. Now, you do have to know something about your audience. You know, if you're talking to a bunch of people who are salmon fishermen and you want to talk about growing a garden, you might not get a lot of interest. So knowing your audience and, you know, is key to having that work. And that's where your speaker one sheet and everything comes in, so you get booked in the right places. All right, so let's remember, really importantly, that that story of becoming is not the whole talk. Because at the end of the day, you have an audience. They come in to get something. Now, I'm assuming they're there because they want to be. If you're talking about corporate training where they don't want to be there, then this is a different approach, and we're not going to do that today. But if you're giving a keynote speech at a convention, for example, and the topic of your keynote speech is there, how to win in the AI world, you know, how to maximize AI, create more profit and more time, that might be the topic you're going to give. The story you might tell about that is how badly you failed at AI, how intimidated you were with tech, maybe in general, and then when AI came along, maybe you felt completely obliterated and buried. And maybe you thought you were going to lose your job because it was going to change so much because of this new technology. Your story is how you overcame that, what you did, how it now lands good for you, and you're doing better than you were before. Okay, that could be the story. What you're trying to do with your audience is take them from a place of despair about some particular problem, and it may or may not have to do with AI. Now, if you're at a tech conference and there's a bunch of nerds in there, then it very likely will. But it could be at another kind of conference. You could be the keynote at some association meeting. Often those keynotes are paid or brought in to motivate, to lift, to encourage. If you think of network marketing, multi-level marketing, you know, they have those conventions all the time. My angel wife, Joy, has done several multi-level marketing systems, and she was quite good at it. She was quite good at recruiting and quite good at hustling and building a good downline and everything else. And so that was something she did, and she did really well. And in that process, she went to several events, Zig Ziglar when he was around, and Tony Robbins, and all these different people that they brought in to do that motivational stuff. Well, if you think about that kind of motivation, it all consists of these stories. It's not just loud music stomping up and down screaming, you can do it. It is a set of capability stories where a person can see themselves in that story and from that take heart. So the story of becoming is your genesis. And what you're doing is you're building a map so that someone in the audience can follow the process and get their own breakthrough, get their own determination, get their own commitment to do something more and to do something better with their lives. And in the case of MLM, go out and recruit harder and make some more money and find people and do the work that's required. Now, I've never been in MLM. It has never appealed to me, but I know a lot about it just because Joy has. All right. So now I want to talk about making money. Okay. So there's lots of ways to make money speaking. One is to get paid to speak. Okay. You might start out low, like $1,000 or $2,000. There are people that get paid $50,000 for a keynote speech. A couple hours speaking engagement, they get paid $50,000. Those kind of people have a lot of name recognition. You will have heard of many of them, and so will have everyone else. So when someone hears so-and-so speaking, then it automatically, you know, is assumed that there's lots of cool stuff, and so they can command that kind of fee. Most speaking is in the middle, $5,000 to $10,000, $15,000 for a keynote at a fairly large kind of convention. You might get 10 or 15, maybe $20,000. That is a good way to make money, and it's a hard life because if you're traveling a lot and you're giving, you know, a speech, a couple of speeches a month, you have to travel wherever it is. Sometimes it's overseas. It takes a lot of days. You have to repeatedly and reliably deliver that speech, move the audience because it isn't just about giving it. You know, they always have those survey forms, and if you suck on the survey, guess what? You're not invited back. And then you begin to, you know, lose your reputation in the industry. So there's a lot of travel, and unless you're already at the $20,000, what if you're at five? Well, you've got to give three or four or five of those a month to make your nut because you've got to pay travel, and you've got to pay hotels, and you've got to do a lot of stuff. So four of those a month is $20K, and you've probably taken half that home. So you're making $120K take home, which is not shabby, but it's certainly not a rock star lifestyle by any stretch. So you have to decide how much money you want to make, and you have to figure out how to get those booked. Now, getting booked for speaking is not that hard. There are encyclopedias, not encyclopedias, but directories of associations. In the world of AI now, you can use ChatGPT or Claude or one of the other Grok or something to provide you with the names of organizations, with their executive directors, contact information, when their last convention was, when their next one is, where it's going to be. All that stuff is easier and easier to find than it's ever been. Ever. I remember several years ago, I took a course from a guy who did a lot of radio interviews, and he was selling this directory, which he updated every year, of several hundred radio stations in the U.S. that were talk radio, where he had spoken and could get booked. And so he taught about how to get booked, and then, of course, you bought the directory and you bought the updates every year because that stuff changes. That kind of product and service is gone. Learning to speak is not gone, but the directories are gone because you can get them all online and with the AI models really quickly and easily. So that's an example of how things change. Your story, as I said, is a central theme from which you derive your interest and your connection to the audience. Your movement of the audience depends on your ability to connect and get them to devow, to take action, get them excited. Making money is you do that well enough so people want you to come and talk to their audience. Now, the mechanics of finding that is finding directories, getting a hold of people, finding out where conferences are. Vegas has tons, LA has tons, Phoenix has tons in the winter, and so does Vegas when it's nice, really, really nice weather there. And so those are all places to start looking to get yourself booked. Now, I want to talk for a minute about another way to make money that I consider better than speaking and getting paid to speak. And that is your ability to sell or market from stage. Sometimes you can sell directly, which is like back of the room sales. You see lots of real estate and investment and other kind of seminars that are that. And, you know, they sell stuff in the back of the room that's $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 learning or mastermind things, investment opportunities. I know a guy that runs a very successful real estate school, and he does really well with this kind of speaking. He speaks for free, but he speaks with the opportunity to sell from stage. And that means tell people what they can buy, let them see how exciting it is, walk them through his own story. And again, his own story is key in that, and illustrate the possible success, get them all excited, and then enroll them in a class, you know, one of two or three or four different classes. Investments are another thing that takes place. Forex, where you're doing currency trading, like I mentioned, real estate, commercial real estate, all of those things are still big in that way to create sales. Now, the reason I prefer that is because you can make a lot more money. I know of someone, personally acquainted, shared a stage with him several times, who made $1 million from one talk. Not because he got paid $1 million to do it, he didn't. But he did sales, and he taught a skill and got people so excited about it that over 1,000 people bought his $1,000 product. Well, 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So he made $1 million. All right, so now those are two ways, and there are more. There are nuanced variations of that, how to enroll people. Again, if you want more details, get a hold of me, and if you'd like help getting in this business, let me know. All right, now I want to talk about moving the room, the mechanics of transformation. This is where the rubber meets the road, because your ability to connect with deeply, to rivet, to capture, to invite the audience into your heart, that's the key. Now, I talk about a TAL beam, time, attention, and love, your ability to connect deeply and powerfully and meaningfully with the audience, there's the magic sauce. It leads to more sales. It leads to repeat bookings. It really leads to rave reviews. So your ability to do that is your primary asset. So you got to find your signature story, what you're going to take from that to teach people, and then you have to develop your ability to speak. That is the magic bullet. Okay? That the key to making this successful is your ability to deeply connect with, draw them in, bring them to your heart, and make them feel part of your life and beingness. That is not magic. It is a learned skill. Now, that's on display often with people who preach. You got preachers who do that, and some do it really well. Some do it in a phony and inauthentic way and then ask for money and you want to vomit while you're watching it. Others do it purely to motivate and to bless and inspire. My mission, you know, that's me. I speak a lot. I do podcasts. I do this. I speak at events, virtual and in person, all the time. I'm going to London next week to speak at an event there at a 4-day event. Here is the key to that. You must be telling the truth. And this is the last point I want to make, and I want to make it for the last few minutes because it's the most important. This is why the story of your becoming is the most powerful asset you have. Because when you speak from your own lived experience, from the depths of your own struggle, from the heights of your own overcoming, when you do that, your voice carries power. Truth that you speak, your own lived truth, carries power. Now, we don't know exactly how that works, but every one of us has got a BS meter that goes off. And you know when someone's just talking about something or exaggerating or whatever. But we also know when there's truth. There's a different quality to the air. It feels different. And this is where practice comes in. So if you don't have a speaking coach, you need to get one. Because the most important skill isn't memorizing the words. It isn't stand over here on the stage, downstage left, right, up here. None of that. The most important part is your ability to be truth. And that comes when you own the message. When it is the message of your lived experience, you can have that. That means getting over nervousness and stage fright and worry and all that. But that is so much easier when you're speaking truth from your own lived experience. Okay, there are lots of tools that we don't have time to do today. Call and response and future pacing and all kinds of stuff that are, I'll call them tricks. But the key is sincerity, vulnerability, authenticity. If you tell the truth, if you tell it openly and freely and in a way that feels and is lived experience, people will listen. They will want to hear more. You know that because you feel that way too when you're listening to someone. So I want to end this way. Learning to speak is one of the most powerful ways to share a message. It's one of the most fun ways to make money and is a powerful and beautiful way to create an ultimate life. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. Two short invitations. One, if you'd like to tell your story on one of my shows, either here or my podcast, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, and fill out the contact form. Let's talk. Let me hear what you're about in the world. Because if you're about adding good, I want your story. And I'd love to feature you and amplify your message and share it with a larger audience. The second invitation is this. If you want help learning to speak, learning the craft of storytelling, learning to be riveting, powerful, learning to draw people in so that they're just wanting to hear more. If you'd like to learn that, again, reach out because I can help you find your story, learn to speak, and learn to get into the world and business of speaking, if that's something you want to do. One of the most powerful ways to add good to the world is to live to your fullest potential. Share your most vulnerable and powerful moments and processes of transformation. Those are the things we need more than anything. The world right now is full of negativity, anger, frustration, accusation, all kinds of negative stuff. The news cycle is a constant doom loop. Get out of that. Be a beacon of light, a vessel of love and a conduit of power, you can make a difference. You really can. For a large group, a very large group, or for the whole world. That opportunity is easier now than it's ever been, and if you want to, you can have that. If speaking is something you want to do on a particular topic to a particular group, and it comes from your own truth and lived experience, go for it. Let this be your call to action, your opportunity to make your move right here, right now. We need more messengers. We need more encouragers. We need more people who are living proof of our ability to be resilient, to be powerful, to be loving, and to intentionally move forward every single day, creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.